I'm Todd Holland, executive producer, co-creator, and director of the pilot of Wonderful.
And I'm Katie Simmer, and I play Sharon on the show.
And we're watching the pilot, and hope you're watching along at home. And we're going to try to tell you as much about the production of the pilot as possible. So you probably don't want to hear the audio. This whole opening is interesting only because it was written present day, sort of like present weather. When we wrote the story, it was all like written as summer. And we got there, and it was brutal, brutal, brutal winter. And this legend was told in real flashbacks, like the two. And we realized we got there, nobody's going in that frickin' river because it's like icebergs. And so we came up with this idea to set the whole thing as a legend told through souvenirs, only because we had to. There was no green grass. That is a photograph of green grass. So we'll see if those natives were shot against green screen. The canoes, of course, waters on still frame with the Viewmaster clicks. It all evolved from just the fact that it was a brutal winter by the time we went to shoot the pilot.
Everyone was in love with that Indian woman.
Totally. And it worked out great because it allowed us to sell the souvenir sort of romantic iconography of Niagara Falls, you know, and enhance the show. And really all we were is solving the question of how the hell do we shoot this? The river is frozen. The falls were, when we scouted the pilot, solid ice. Just solid walls of ice. I couldn't believe it. It was the most frozen thing I've ever seen in my life.
And the execution of this from the page to what you actually see is something that I couldn't imagine in my own mind. And then when I actually saw it, it's like astonishing the way you sort of put this together and this.
Well, there's a ton of pieces and a ton of visual effects, yeah. And it was really hard to visualize when you read it on the page because it is complex, you know. I mean, but
here's our heroine.
There's Jay. It's Carolyn DeVarna. English pronunciation of her name is Daverna. The French pronunciation, which she does not favor, I won't attempt to say. Most people butcher it, so she chose Daverna as her American name, because it's very French. And that's Neil Grayston playing Alec. I actually did a pilot with Neil a year ago. That never got picked up for Fox called Crime Tunnel, where he played a 15th century French monk. Neil speaks fluent French as well.
Just placed during the World War II.
Yeah, exactly. And gave him this like weird bowl haircut because he was from the 15th century. And that is the vestiges of what his haircut is in Wonderfalls. It's grown out a year, but it's still that strange bowl cut from the 15th century monk in Time Tunnel.
And this is a great actor, a local actor.
Gabe Hogan.
Gabriel Hogan, who's a great comedic actor.
Who's really most known for doing, like, law shows and
serious.
Like, he plays football players and crap, and he's hilariously
so funny.
Very gifted. Shalan Simmons, who was actually in the Carrie miniseries with Brian. She's from Vancouver.
She's like Carrie?
Sure, she played one of Carrie's girlfriends. I think she gets decapitated by the basketball hoop. I'm not sure. When you talk about the Carrie show, you always have to talk about how did they die? That girl, and how did she die? And that's how you remember the casting of that show.
Right.
But Shalan came in and did this episode. Later, comes in and does an entire episode for us and really did a spectacular job.
The
shot.
It's completely fabricated. Like, everything outside, like, the meat of the mist right there the look for the shop, and they did such a beautiful job. It's a completely different location.
Let me say, the scene right here where Caroline's eating her sandwich and she's going to choke on it, that's an added scene. It was not in the original pilot. The network really wanted an answer to the question of why today, and we kept saying that she lost her promotion at the bottom. They really wanted something a little more. We wrote this scene, and it became less elaborate in cut it than how we wrote it. But you never seen this scene? Oh, this way she chokes on her sandwich and she almost chokes to death, and then the coin gets gone.
Okay. Oh my god!
But anyway, this is an added scene to solve the network's note, which we honestly we never really solve why today on the show is she has a near death experience. I don't know. You viewers at home, you be the judge. Why that helps answer the question of why today. But she has a traumatizing experience and involves the Maid of the Mist. You'll have to watch this good show. It's a really good show. You should watch it. Anyways,
I wasn't in that scene, so I didn't.
Hey, now, Brian and I, when we thought of the idea, both have a mutual shared love for these Moldorama machines. They make, like, wax, hot wax figures, and you watch through the plexiglass bubble dome right there that Ronnie is getting her smooshed face wax lion from. But, you know, and actually, that's a real lion. We licensed the lion from Moldorama. We liked it so much. And then I had to dent its head and find out what made it smooshed face, as we described it. And we finally did it in Photoshop. The prop department literally in the pilot gave me a wax lion. They gave me, like, 8 wax lions and said, smoosh this the way you want it. And the problem was, it's wax. Any place you hold it to smoosh it, you smoosh the opposite side as well. So I smooshed the butt and the face and the thing, and it was a disaster. So finally, I said, there must be a better way to do this, guys. And they finally did it strictly in Photoshop. And they just smooshed with the liquefy feature in Photoshop, and then they sculpted it to match what I did in Photoshop.
Huh.
They, of course, set all the buttons, and I just point.
When I told them to use white chocolate and then carve it.
Yes, exactly. Katie suggested white chocolate. Now, this is, oh my god, I'm gonna blank on the names now. Catherine,
We should have a list.
I know, it's embarrassing.
Great Canadian actors in Los Angeles back in
the day. That's a famous Second City Canadian actress who's embarrassingly blanking on her name. How horrifying. Core Digital Pictures in Canada, in Toronto, does our effects. They're famous for creature animation. They do some very funny chipmunks and stuff. They're famous for, like, small creature animation. And so we went with them, and they've done a spectacular job on this animation. I call that lion there, I call him the squashed and sassy lion, because later lions you'll see, I shot that on a wide lens very close, and it gave a sort of wrap to the 3D animation that made him very funny looking. His nose is closer to camera. Later, and of course we're shooting the pilot, we've never seen how this works before. Later I use longer lenses to kind of compress the background, thought it'd be a nice change up of the inserts, and the lion doesn't look quite as good on a long lens. He's not as, he looks sort of middle-aged. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Carolyn, every single piece of acting she does in this whole series is done basically to a piece of tape, because all of this animation is
right.
done in post-production.
Right.
So she's even a better actress than you think she might be.
Yes, and that's saying something. Here's the trailer, the Airstream trailer. This is a real trailer we had on location. And this is a real trailer we had on stage. We always meant to build a set. On the pilot, there was no option. You don't have the money to build a set this elaborate. So we had to cut up an existing Airstream trailer and film in it. And we ended up failing to find the money through the entire series to actually build a real set. Alicia Kiwin designed this set for the pilot and did a brilliant job. It is very difficult to shoot in to this day.
Lots of hairy, sweaty, two guys.
And on the pilot, it was hot. Because we hadn't figured out just how hot that trailer was going to get. And so it didn't quite have the air conditioning we needed and all that stuff. It was hot and cramped and, you know, not pretty.
It was really hot.
And now Bill Sadler and, Diana Scarlett playing the mom, but Bill and Lee Pace, who plays the brother in the pilot, they were actually guest stars on the pilot. Actually, you know, Lee wasn't in the pilot. Adam Scott played that part in the pilot originally, and Adam went off to his feature career, and we were lucky enough to find an actor of Lee's sort of incredible caliber. But
he just graduated from Juilliard and is a great theater actor, as well as Chrissy Froms, who plays Rebecca.
Right. They were classmates at Juilliard, and ironically, both got cast in our pilot when we recast both the best friend and the brother, because those people had other jobs. And they were actually guest stars for a one-day shoot. They were only in one day of shooting on the pilot, each of them. And we guest starred them in the pilot as opposed to making series regular deals, because it was such a gigantic savings for the pilot. And then we had to make deals after the fact, and lucky enough, we were able to make deals with both Bill and, I guess it's Bill.
Bill, yeah, I guess,
cause I guess it's Bill, because, yeah.
Diana, you'll remember from, I totally hate that I say this, from Mommy Dearest, and the Psycho movies, and she's just an incredible actor. She's been in so many things over the years, and she's just very odd sense of humor, and just really extraordinary on screen. And Bill, of course, has been in tons of different feature films. Shawshank Redemption.
And that's Scott Ellis Loring playing Dr. Ron. And what was fun about the visual effects here was to integrate them into the shot. And, you know, when we came up with the idea to like have the monkey start to turn the book out of focus, so he's just a foreground fixture, and then he comes to life, and it kind of puts us a little more in Caroline's point of view, and it's just fun, and the visual, of course, is all over that kind of stuff. Anytime we come up with something that is out of the ordinary, like that rack focus there, you know, they were just right with us, and they did a terrific job. What they do is we have to shoot this, like the monkey's not really there. We shoot a reference plate with the monkey bookend standing in, just so we know where the monkey is and what it looks like in the light. And then we take the monkey out, and the actors have to do the proper performance, the hero performance we want to put in the cut, when the monkey's not there, because the digital monkey is going to take its place.
It's
same
so
with all.
Tough. I mean, when I say that she's great at it, she's great at it. I just always goof up. I'm like, where is it supposed to be again? It's really hard to do.
And Carolyn.
Alphonse Loring also comes from the New York theater. He had a great theater career there before he moved to Los Angeles. He was in Jelly's Last Dam, and he's just a really great performer. Dances and sings.
Singer.
Oh, my God.
Some day we'll get Dr. Ron to dance or sing.
But
because Diana, we want to get Karen Tyler and Dr. Ron in dance therapy. Diana Scarwood gave us that idea because she likes dance therapy. And here we meet Tracy Toms, who was a recast from the original pilot. Tracy is hilarious. Kerry Washington played the role in the pilot. Again, she's, you know, off to pursue her feature career. And Tracy came just straight out of Juilliard with Lee. Both of them have very little camera time. Lee, of course, nominated for Soldier's Girl, playing Calpurnia in Soldier's Girl, Golden Globe, and Independent Spirit Award nominee, but really very little camera time, and both very, and you on the pilot, you were always saying, I don't know, just tell me what I need to know. And Katie never had so much fun in her life as when she got to mark the camera in the car scene coming up in act three. She loved that. That was so exciting. But these two are tremendous together, and they're such a gift, the chemistry they have, and listen, the whole cast, they're fun to work with. It was a bit of a bore to have to reshoot the pilot scenes, I got to tell you, because not only had we auditioned them, we'd written them, and then auditioned them to death to find these actors, and then you take them to the studio and work sessions, and then network, and then you rehearse them, and then you shoot them, then you cut them, and then you're done, and then you have to go back and start that process all over again, including the auditioning, and the studio, and the network, and you do it all over again. I was so sick of this particular scene by the time we were done, I thought I wouldn't survive it.
That's
Tyrone Lightso. We found Tyrone so late in the game. Let me tell you, on the pilot, couldn't find our leading man. Tyrone was this mysterious presence. We didn't really understand who he was, honestly. But he's like his own man. He's driving from Vancouver to Los Angeles with no cell phone. He just, still to this day, does not own a cell phone. And his managers and agents cannot call him. They don't know where he is. We went to studio with this role and did not do well. And we felt we did not have the actor in the mix. The studio told us we did not have the actor in the mix. Tyrone was told to come. He arrived in L.A. He drove in L.A. We were told to come right over. He came over dressed like he was going out for breakfast because that's what he thought he was doing. Not with us, but just in general. He auditioned after studio, which you take the actors to the studio first, the 20th Century Fox Television and Regency, and then when the ones that do well go on to network.
Horrifying.
She's done it all. Tyrone auditions, has already missed studio, goes straight to network, gets the part. I mean, we've only known him like 3 hours, and he has the part.
He's such an interesting guy. I mean, he has a small house in Vancouver, which he built. He's one of those guys. He just reads all the time. He's a really smart...
He came to Upfronts in May with a little cut on his forehead. I said, what's that? He goes, oh, a chainsaw kicked back at me. I said, okay. I said, okay, normally actors have like a skydiving clause and a motorcycle clause and all the things you can't do for fear you hurt yourself. I said, Tyrone, we're going to have to give you like a chainsaw clause because you can't do the chainsaw kicking back at the face.
You know he's going to build a house in the south of France this summer.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I know that.
Well, Italy, maybe it's the south.
I know. I gave him a big Home Depot gift certificate for his birthday, so he was so excited.
He's
buying this shot of the quad, by the way. That is a totally CGI construction. The mix of geography seems... CGI, computer-generated imagery. That shot of the quad with the fountain and the shop all together, those things don't exist in the same place. The quad where the shop exists is actually in a place called the Canadian National Exposition in Toronto. The fountain travels. It exists both at the CNE and at Niagara Falls. And then, of course, the falls are in Niagara Falls. So when we had to figure out where the shop was, what's the ideal, most visual, most romantic place to put this store, it was really a difficult decision. And the pilot was shot, actually, in the atrium of the CNE. So we built it in the 50-foot-high ceilinged lobby, basically. It had this tremendous echo to the sound. And we had to put this false ceiling in just to make the sound acceptable. It was like a cavern. You'd hear it go, and so we shot this in the actual lobby of this thing, built a shop into it for the pilot, because again, on pilots, you don't have the money to build really anything. This is a one-wall set, that little flashback. And so, but we built it here so we'd have the connection to the outdoors. In series, we went back and rebuilt this as a set. We have a trans light, which is a photo backing of that view behind Gabe's head, Thomas the EPS man. We had to call it EPS because we couldn't clear UPS. So I actually forget what EPS stands for, but we did have an explanation for it. Expedited Parcel Service or something. I don't know. But so it's interesting. It got more complicated than on the pilot. On the pilot, there was just this location and its exterior and then the fountain. And the fountain is a pivot point to take you from Niagara Falls in Toronto. Now in series, we have the actual store. We have the quad, and then we have the fountain pivoting still. So it's three pieces in series, so it's even more complicated.
Maple syrup, always very popular in the souvenir shop, no matter where you are.
Very popular. The fountain we built from scratch, it does not exist there. We put it up there in Niagara Falls and got a lot of money collected overnight during the days we were shooting. People threw a lot of quarters into it.
Isn't it?
So, yeah. And then the funny story is the first time they put the fountain up, we were shooting down at the, we were shooting the very top of the show, down by the edge of the falls with all those tourists, and we heard these rumors that the fountain was like overflowing with soap suds. I mean, that gallons and gallons and gallons and gallons of soap suds. I mean, it turns out we found the receipt. The visual effects people told us it was sabotage, sort of, or the practical effects people. But in reality, we found the receipt in the garbage months later, and somebody, turns out, we went to the store and they found the receipt and they actually bought, instead of desudsing, they bought industrial detergent. Instead of a desudsing agent, they bought industrial detergent and then poured that in thinking they were doing the opposite, and it created like a Rock Hudson Doris Day movie. You know, which is the suds flow. You weren't even there yet then.
How funny.
And
these visual effects are stunning.
This quarter is actually, that quarter is on a rod. You cannot see. We painted it out. It was a really cheap, simple, you know, quick way to do it. And it makes the quarter have I'm the little quarter that can.
Yeah.
And this is a totally computer generated quarter, the one that's on the set. This we created after the fact. I designed that shot without the quarter in the shot, just as the quarter's point of view. And it really wasn't enough. And we put the quarter in ourselves.
And really, reading this on the page, it's like, okay, whatever you think you're going to be doing that quarter, it's very hard to imagine, and they did such a beautiful job.
The weather in Niagara Falls, we finally made it to Niagara Falls, you can't tell yet because I'm going to tell a story, was brutal to us. The first days we went to Niagara Falls, fog like you've never seen in your life, and we've waited months and months of development and right, get to Niagara Falls, finally, we've scouted everything. It is like there's a balustrade, and then there's this wall of light, and you hear this rushing roar. It could be a freeway. You can't see a thing. You can't see Niagara Falls. And we sat there kind of in shock going, we came all this way for nothing. There was nothing there.
We were all sitting in the staring at each other going, well, we can hear them.
Yeah.
See them.
So basically, and I just was beating myself up, I've never had weather so misbehave until the reality was the weather was so harsh to us that you couldn't see the falls on film, and the studio had to let us go back. So we got to go back for two more days. At the very end of the shoot, we went back again, and it saved us because the weather was beautiful. We were in March where it was a very... Niagara Falls is its own ecosystem, you know. It is. It's its own, because there's so much mist and fog and the rivers and the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
Carolyn's so funny in this scene. She's just so amazing.
Sick after this because she ate so many...
Chicken McNuggets.
Chicken McNuggets.
And it's fun to see all this. I'm a stickler for, like, like props that don't look fake. So we like built our own little, you know, like McNugget box out of a larger box, like a fried chicken box, trying to make it look more real.
She worked so hard. I mean, the crew works really hard on the show. They do, on an average, I would say 14-hour days.
Oh, average.
Average.
Call them all at home and ask them. They'll give you that.
On average. But she specifically has worked so hard because she's in almost every shot. So the great thing about Carolyn is...
This is interesting, only because this is where the weather hit us so bad, and we tried desperately to get this woman, Catherine playing Ronnie, down to Niagara Falls when the weather turned bad, and she didn't have a babysitter. It really wasn't planned well, obviously. We didn't have a backup plan. The weather turned on us, and so we ended up shooting one side of this. We only got one, by the time we got her down to Niagara Falls from Toronto, we were only able to shoot half of this angle. Mm-hmm. And so we had to come back 2 weeks later and shoot the reverse of it and you know, watch
the last day.
The last day shooting. It was just, you know.
The little girl in the background, we kept having to wake her up in the middle of the night.
She was so sweet.
Yeah.
And Carol took that punch like probably 40 times. I mean, just learning how to snap her head back. This is another one wall set we built. This scene was supposed to be four different things.
Yeah.
Originally, you were... You were making a dinner, microwaving a dinner for one. And then she was applying makeup. Because we kept running out of time and the ability to shoot what we wanted. So we kept rewriting it to say, can we shoot this? Can we shoot this?
And then at the last minute, it was like slap a bed on the, yeah. The curtain on that wall.
And we created the buddy pillow thing and made that into a joke.
Was it the last day
to shoot?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we ended in Niagara Falls then.
Yeah, we did. But I was saying about Carolyn that she was a huge star when she was a young girl in Montreal, and working together on the pilot, I was trying to give her all sorts of advice and take care of her and take her under my wing, thinking she's this young thing, and she's basically a television star.
She's been directing. She's been acting. At 24, as long as I've been directing, she's been acting for about 16 years.
Yeah.
And she's the most grounded, normal person you'll ever meet.
Incredible.
And everybody said it's so great she's from Montreal because she had to stick her hand in that fountain and pull that quarter out at one point. And I was saying, well, should we heat the water? I mean, it's winter, it's March, it's a little cold. I mean, you don't believe how cold it was. It was like 32 below in Toronto during the prep. And everybody said, I saw the story now. Katie couldn't drive the car, okay? She just couldn't drive the car to save herself. And she could not get the seatbelt to work to save herself. And she kept getting more and more frustrated. And I finally said, Katie, just use it. Just use it. And I tell you, you did use it. And people tell me repeatedly it's the funniest moment in the pilot. I mean, they love that seatbelt thing because it was real. And she made it real. But it's really because she couldn't drive the car. And at one point, the cameraman, she couldn't get the car in gear. So the cameraman finally, the steady cam got kind of frustrated. And it was kind of funny. And he just went to the right and made it look like the car was leaving. Just as a joke because she really couldn't move the car. She couldn't get in and buckle it and put it in gear and start. So then we started having somebody was down below. What were they, putting it in gear for you?
Robin.
We had somebody laying on the floor of the car, putting it in gear because she didn't know how.
Holding the
seatbelt. So she would have to actually buckle it, because it was like, it's not a miniseries, it's just a pilot, you know.
I'm a New Yorker, I took the subway.
It's hilarious.
So, it's funny.
So this is another one of these dreaded audition scenes that I heard, like literally, no joke, I heard this scene probably 500 times, if not more, between all the times and versions. I mean, oi, oi, oi. And we finally, blissfully, the network gave us some notes on it at the very end, and Brian tweaked it a little bit, which was great, because any little change in that scene by then was great, because it's hard to even listen to something you've heard that many times. You know it so well, it's just like, oh, I'm so happy when this was over. And so was she, because she'd done it a million times. Everybody had done this a million times.
Yeah.
And Carolyn's still good, and she's done it 500 times. She's done it as many, you know, half as many times as I have.
By the time you get finished with the whole process of auditioning for the studio and then the network, if you don't know an actor in your life, it's just the most hideous process. It's nerve-wracking. You don't get more than one chance to do it. It's just everything is based on this one reading in a room full of, it could be, you know, 10 people, it could be 50 people. It's just a very intense situation.
I was going to point out, right here, what you're looking at is the set of the barrel bar that we built when we got picked up. The earlier and later scenes, anything involving Mahandra shot on the set, Tracy Tom, But it's really ingenious. You really can't tell the difference. We designed the set, obviously. We liked the set we had in the location. We shot a natural practical bar for the pilot. All the scenes with Katie and Thomas, it's all shot in a practical bar location that we redressed to be the barrel. And we liked elements of it so much, it was great, because otherwise we would have had to reshoot all this stuff, which would have been unbearable. And so but we liked it enough and kind of modified it to fit our purposes, but we kept it. So you, in the pilot, it's fairly seamless. We made it way more shootable, of course, as a set. Mm-hmm. And here we are back in the atrium lobby of the that became the shop.
Todd likes to lift props from the souvenir shop.
I
just told on you.
I work on the weekends a lot, on Saturday nights.
And
so I just go, the last thing I do before I leave at like midnight from working on my shots for the next episode I'm directing is I go shopping in Wonder Falls, like at midnight on a Saturday night before I go home. And there are some really cool things.
Do I
have
sunglasses? I got them at Wonderful.
No, I don't mind. I do all the Niagara stuff. This Diana Scarwood is this scene was interesting. The set when we shot it, you know, was a practical location, which causes its own problems. We always had this whole pilot. We ended up shooting called block shooting for lighting, which is we had to shoot towards the doors always straight off the bat and design the coverage towards the doors because you lose the light out the doors because it was winter. 4:30 is sunset. This direction, that's why it's kind of opaque back there. It's blue and sort of frosted, so that was actually lit after dark, before the sun rose and after the sunset, so that with these angles you do not see out real windows, and so you have to like plan your shooting and
those.
Yeah, you can control them.
From an actor's point of view, though, doing that is so confusing because you'll do little bits of maybe four different scenes. So it's maybe the next day, it's maybe the last week, it's maybe, you know.
Or it's later, the end of the day, where you've shot all these pieces going one direction,
right.
And then you come back and you start reversing your way through the scene work of the day, going, okay, now we're finishing, now we're going to turn around this scene and go back to the next scene and go back to the last scene. It's kind of like working with kids whenever you have to block shoot like that.
You mean with kids?
Well, I mean, when you work with kids, you have to shoot in a certain order because they have some limited days. This is interesting in that we don't do these kind of shots in series. They're very expensive, these computer-generated shots. So the big two shots, where it's a 50-50 of her and the lion, are something that I explored in the pilot, and they work really well because they kind of put them in perspective, in context, physical context, right, in the world. But we don't do it anymore because it costs too much money. Now you always cut to Carolyn's close-up and you see what she's seeing, but you never waste your money on a wide shot where the visual effect is very small. And it's too bad because it actually makes it really fun and very real.
Mm.
But it's too expensive for us in series.
This next shot coming up, she has to throw...
Oh, my God. Yeah.
She has to throw this thing.
Alarm clock. It's that little blue alarm clock I have up there. Anyway, she's got a terrible alarm.
It's like 3 in the morning.
And she got it. She nailed it on the second try. Just totally nailed it. There was a dummy there. She knocked it out of the shot. And there's a very funny outtake where she does this little high-five dance and everything. Because it was...
You hear the crew in the background going, yeah!
Because we really thought we'd be there for like 2 hours doing this.
Yeah, it was great.
It was so great. And now comes the restaurant. But this is the actual location. This is the actual bar, the practical bar we shot for the pilot. There were subtle differences all over the place, but, you know, the basic patina of the walls and the set dressing and the dressing on the tables, you know, we liked all that and carried it over. So Alicia Kewin designed the pilot, and Tamara Devereaux designed the series, and, you know, we really drew from all the brilliant wealth of visual, you know, inspiration that Alicia had set in motion. It was fun. Caroline and the pilot, you know, it was very tricky, you know, finding where to start with her character, you know, with the whole talking muses, and she and I would work this sort of triangle with her takes. We shot the hospital, which is the end of the episode, in the very first day. And so we worked this triangle of, am I crazy? And then this heart, and then there's what we call annoyed resistance, which is sort of like the curmudgeonly, you know, slacker part of Jay. And we kind of played, you know, every one of them. These three actors were so much fun, Katie, Gabe, and Carolyn. Whenever they were on the set, I had so much fun going to work. And everybody's terrific.
A lot of directors, when you're doing a take, so they'll give you a direction, they'll stop the camera, and they'll go, the reason we love Todd is...
I'll stop the camera.
Stop the camera. He'll just go, okay, now that I know you're thinking about your mother, now!
I know, and you often see them on camera, because we're still rolling, you see them in dailies go, what did he say?
What
What? What am I supposed to do? And then Carolyn was sitting opposite her going, he wants you to do this. She goes, oh, okay, fine.
Yeah. Fastest talker you'll ever meet.
It's true.
Great. But we know that we get the pod language now.
All this had to be block shot. This whole pilot was shot in block direct. Because it's the only way to do... It's like shooting courtroom stuff. You shoot all the witness box, and then you shoot all the judge, and then you shoot, you know. So... And the bar, our bar is very reminiscent of this. You know, we took a lot from this bar.
Very much the same. It's
very much.
One wall, no.
Yeah. Tyrone, it was very funny in the pilot. I always tell him, discover Jay. Like every line, if you're supposed to discover her. And he would just go, am I supposed to discover her again? I mean, yes, every line, you're discovering her all over again.
He had crooked teeth.
He did have crooked teeth. I know, it was really weird. It's a coincidence, yeah. Hey, that barrel in the background, you see the orange, that is a barrel, white barrel behind Thomas's head right there. It actually is a replica of an actual barrel that somebody went historically over Niagara Falls in. I think his name is Rudy Braun. And we could not find, the art department could not find anything to build it out of. It was very expensive to mold and all that. And they actually found a septic tank online that was the exact same shape, and they ordered a septic tank. And that's what is there to this day, and it looks terrific.
Yeah, it does.
And it actually looks like there's that the buoy-like thing that Rudy Braun went over the falls in. I think there's a neon, that Chinese symbol there. I think it's wind.
You don't know what it is?
All you people can tune in and say, I thought it was water, but I think it's wind. I'm not sure.
You should have a concert.
Yes, exactly. And all those pictures behind Tyrone, they're all like the prop department. Like you have to have the legal right to put those pictures up there in case anyone ever sees themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's always the relatives of the set dressers and the prop
children.
Department. And, you know, it's everybody's children, you know, because otherwise you can't put anything on a set that's not cleared.
This is a great makeup job. Who's our makeup department?
Francois something or other. Francois, but this goiter thing. And we had to design the goiter and Francois sculpted it And, you know, we really went pretty far with it. But it was very uncomfortable for Gabe to wear.
For so long.
This whole shooting that car scene, this is hilarious. But these guys are... This ironically, the first prior shots in Niagara Falls going down Clifton Hill, this is on Yonge Street in Toronto. And we had handheld cameras, and that's a handheld camera in the front seat, and that's a handheld camera. And
the cameraman, Michael Seuss, was sitting in that seat, in the front passenger seat, squished in there with the Steadicam or whatever.
These guys are so much fun in that car scene that I had to go scout with the police the streets we were going to ride. So I say, will you guys go with me in the back of the van and we'll rehearse? So the three of them climb in the back of this van with all these grips and all these people, and we're in the back acting and rehearsing the scene while we're talking about the route we're going to take and where we're going to turn the camera car around. And they're like, game for it.
Yeah.
They didn't complain. I mean, this is all about whatever we need to do to make it right.
We went on a rig, too, for that entire scene.
We towed the car and flapped
it. I had to do ink. I had to do my own makeup.
Oh, she had to do her own makeup with the ink on her face? Because she had to, we have all these elaborate ways to do it, and Katie figured out that if she just had a little piece of wax paper there with some ink, with some phony ink on it, she would hit it and then put it on herself while she was doing this. She'd get it on her thumb. And it was really simple what she came up with, because it was kind of a dilemma. Complicated thing, but they're all locked in this moving car and on the cameras, and so it wasn't easy to get in and do a second position. We shot this the very first day. The very first day. Oh my god, this is actually the first scene I think we shot. Carrie Matchett, brilliant. She's seen in a lot of series there, Blue Murder series there. She's hilarious. Now, this is not her hair. I'll tell you, this is the true story. She's blonde. Her hair is blonde.
She looks like me. I mean, she's
blonde. Okay, this is the deal. And I fought so hard to cast Carrie. And the only way I got the network to agree to cast her was if she was not blonde. But the problem is, okay, can I say it? Her hair is processed blonde, so you can't run any color through it. That hair will never let go of that color. And so she will be that color forever, and she didn't want to be. So... with very, very little time at our disposal, we found a human hair wig and cut it to fit her. We improved upon it in series. We actually found a wig that was constructed. We had no time to build a wig. Normally you build wigs for actors, and it's very expensive, and we didn't have the time or the money. So we found a wig and tailored it. In series, you'll see, we actually build a wig for her, and it looks a lot better.
She has no bangs, though. She suddenly grows bangs in the next couple weeks.
Yeah. She does, actually. I mean, it was months in real life, but I mean, in reality, you'll see it 3 weeks later.
Hello, lover.
You
got
no bangs. Yeah. And this... His style... Gabe was so funny. When he makes his little noises, oh, my God. It's so fun to work with people who... And Gabe would actually do what in the... he'd do a reading of anything. I'd say, okay, Gabe, that's a totally valid, dramatic reading. Now we have to find the funny version of that. And he'd think of something and go... Oh, okay, this is hilarious. Doing that with him was hilarious. And he's totally game for it, the whole, you know, naked thing. You know? But he go, oh, okay. Okay, I get it. And then he come back with the funny reading that was just as emotionally valid.
Right.
And that's what this entire cast can do. It's just a delight.
This is a nice thing I like to see Jay and Sharon.
Hey, and there's these little carbides there. Little insider thing. We did it in the pilot, and then literally... forgot to do them for the entire series until I was on the dubbing stage mixing shows, and we couldn't find enough background noise to put in this trailer park. And I suddenly realized that we couldn't put carbides in because we hadn't never done the headlight gag. So we finally do it in episode 112, which actually airs third. You'll see headlights again. Otherwise, they do not exist in series. We totally, the DP, me, everybody, we totally forgot. Until I realized we needed more sound. It's so funny. The sound led me back to realize we forgot.
The sound is an incredible thing. I went with Todd to the studio, whatever.
Right.
The screen.
The mixing screen.
And when you were there for 6 hours, and that was half of your day.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and you just did sound for every single, like, you were working on a lawnmower.
Well, what we've done now is we've added distant trains in the trailer. Yeah. Now you hear distant trains all the time. And it's a lovely romantic sound, but it also fills in where you just hear crickets and what,
right.
What is it you hear? You don't hear, like, children playing at night, you know?
So they haven't got this in this room, but I want a lawnmower at the third house down. And the guy who's mowing the lawn is tired.
Okay, now you have to pay close attention because this scene got extended through network notes from the original pilot, which you're watching right now. This is all original. And after Carolyn says, what's her name? What's her last line? I love you too.
Don't say it. Don't do that.
Oh, you don't have to. After she says, you don't have to answer that. Is that the one?
You don't have to respond to that. No,
what happens is they wanted more of an extension. They wanted more of a satisfying emotional payoff between these two. And that's the tension of the series with network, you know. So from this moment on, from this point coming back, this is all new. Like, no, that's actually old. That's old. That two shot's old. I love you too. This is new. Okay, that is 5 months later. And you can kind of tell, Carolyn's lost some weight. She's tanner. Everybody's hair is a little different. It's hilarious. But on that one cut, it's 5 months apart. And
I don't like this machine. I'm sorry. Can I say it out loud?
No.
I prefer it when it's just more individual.
It used to end with the monkey saying, I love you. And Jay says, I love you. Sharon says, I love you too. And then, did you say I love you too? And he's going to have to respond to that.
I love you.
Oh, no, you said nothing.
Yes.
And she said, you don't have to respond to that.
See, this is too mushy for
and that was the act. That was the scene out.
Which is kind of how people are, you know. It's just,
Okay, here we are. Niagara Falls. Took that little red kiosk thing. We just slid out from behind. We took Niagara Falls. This is back in Toronto, this shot. This, then we take the kiosk thing back to Toronto and have Eric Tyrone look around it. And he looks over and sees Niagara Falls, 120 miles south.
Toronto.
Niagara Falls. And it's just sort of, anytime you look back over them at the fountain, which you never do again, that's Toronto again.
Our script supervisors are to be...
But we actually had to storyboard this, because it was very complicated for the crew to grasp the physical geography we were creating. So we storyboarded it, not because it was big action or anything, just because it was confusing. And as you see in the background, the falls are largely frozen. And that was a big thaw compared to what it was when we started. They actually let us control all the lights here. the lights come from these gigantic spotlights that sit up on this hill, and Niagara gave us control of the lights, so we could take them to certain colors. Like the deep purple they have did not read well on film. It has so little light. It doesn't let enough light. It's a white, blue, and...
Victor Hammer's
our brilliant DP.
You notice you don't have
any pinks or anything back there. There's only a few colors that actually let off enough exposure to actually capture the falls. So it was a bit of a technical problem.
Victor is a great DP. He just did Welcome to Newport, I guess, about New Theaters right now.
And we've done pilots for years together. He shot the pilot for Malcolm in the Middle. Shot the pilot for Time Tunnel. We did the pilot for Freaky Lynx, which was called Fearsome. Ball and Chain. And the Dick Wolf pilot, the Washington, D.C. one. What was it called?
That's beautiful.
It was fun being in Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls is very romantic. That fountain has been carried back to Toronto. On the pilot, we had one fountain, and we had to slap it back and forth, and that thing got beat up in a 3-week shoot. It got so beat up. But on series, we have two. This scene is added. This scene is added again because they wanted Thomas to have more of a... Thomas the mailman to have more of a victory of sorts. I mean, really, basically... They want Jay to acknowledge that she's done some good in the world. Mm-hmm. It used to end, go straight from, this scene, he used to just walk by. I mean, all this was the same. She was putting the maple syrup in the window, and then he and the nurse just walk by, and he waves and says, and he mouths, wow, like he's so happy.
Right.
The network wanted more.
Yeah.
And so this is the scene that Brian and I came to, and Tim Minear, our partner, and showrunner and fellow executive producer, came up with.
Maybe eventually they'll let us be a little bit more ambiguous about things not resolving so perfectly.
You know, it helps, and it helps people land in the show.
Marry her. Oh, I didn't know that.
It's a good show. You really should watch it.
He's just been added.
Oh, the added. See, it's like, after my line, blah, 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 my line, blah, blah, blah. It's all true.
No,
you're seeing it right here.
Right.
No.
Come on.
And after you stop reading, this is way after your last line. You're right. In fact, your last line was way earlier. You didn't read past that in the rewrite.
Like the amber pages.
Yes, this is the This is triple amber.
Yeah.
This is the third time around amber.
Right, we get different colors. So it starts with white, then blue, then pink, then yellow, then green, and then they come up with like salmon and.
So we had to find out, so the theory was at the end of the pilot, you create the illusion of ongoing stories. That's what gives the network the feeling of fertility in the series. By the way, the voice of the bear is, in fact, Scott Ellis Loring.
That's okay. Dr. Ron
is doing the voice of the bear as well. Now, the woman by the fountain, I just picked out of a crowd because we needed somebody, but we were in Niagara Falls, and it was like, anyway, we found that woman in that red coat, ended up having to bring her back to Toronto, because it was something that was significant, noticeable enough, but it was hard to find a string. We hadn't really planned it well to find that woman. So when somebody...
A lot of red coats there. Wow.
And the problem with the first time I went to Niagara Falls, too, like none of the extras wore any color at all. So it was very drab. So the second time we came back, we told her it was great. We got to come back and tell everybody to wear a lot of color.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's over. Oh, so soon.
And there's our
show. Gone so soon. That's the pilot.
I hope you'll keep watching.
Keep watching. It only gets better.